hottest awesome in this place.
Our faith is built each time we hear the Word of God. We hope you'll enjoy this life-changing message from Countryside Christian Center. When you finish, feel free to share this tape with others. Our church address is 1850 McMullen Booth Road, Clearwater, Florida, 33759. You can reach us by calling 727-799-1618 or log on to www.countrysidechristiancenter.org.
Lord, we thank you. There was a time in our life we didn't know you. Lord, there's a different story with every person in this room. There's people that were deep, deep in sin. There's people, Lord, that were deceived by religion. Lord, you've taken us through much and brought us to this place of truth and freedom. Today we lift you up. We thank you for light that's come into our hearts. God, that we can come boldly to your throne of grace. Lord, to find the help we need. To find the grace that you offer to us now to help us in our time of need. Lord, we ask now, Holy Spirit, bring your anointing and your presence. You've come to lead us into truth and into this word. Make it alive. We thank you. Lord, you are the head of your church. You are the Lord that leads it and guides it and directs it. So we thank you, Father. Anoint me and anoint our hearts to receive it as you instruct us today and lift us in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, if you have your Bibles, I want you to open to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. I want to share with you today a new program that we're going to be starting in the church that's designed for equipping people to reach their maximum potential. It's called Advance. And we're going to take kind of step by step today and share what's going to be taking place. The first thing, and I want you to know that this is all new material. And that the first step to this program is our Fresh Start class. And Fresh Start has all the material. It's 6 weeks. It meets at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. I'll be sharing more about that in a moment. First Base is, again, a six-week class, and that's membership. And that takes place on Sunday evenings at 5:30. And the next class is coming up in about 3 weeks. The next class has two parts. It's a maturity class, and each is 6 weeks long. And that'll be taking place on Wednesday night. We'll be starting that. It's going to be just a little before that starts. We'll say more about it. And then our ministry class, Third Base, that's a six-week class. And then our last is mission, which is home plate, and that's a six-week class. Now this is all new material, and I'm encouraging every person in this church to go through this life-changing program. Because it's going to change your life. It's going to change our church. It's going to affect what happens in our new building as we move in. It's not about building a building. It's about building God's building, the church, us, people. There's going to be a special certificate that's going to be given to every person that every time you complete a class. But then there's going to be a certificate of recognition as you go through all these classes. It's going to be a special, special thing. We're going to do that publicly in one of the services as we recognize those people. So these classes are excellent. And they're designed for everyone. They're designed for seekers. They're designed for new believers. They're designed for people that have been walking with the Lord for some time. They're also designed for people that may be new to our church. And they're designed for people that have been in our church for a long, long period of time. And that it is going to have an effect on your life, I promise you. Now, I'm going to briefly share with you about some of these classes this morning. I want us to begin in the book of Ephesians, and I want us to start in verse 11. It's talking about how the Lord brought victory to us, that before he ascended, first he descended into the depths of hell and brought up the keys of death and hell in his hands, and that he gave gifts to us as his church. And those gifts were leadership gifts, and he tells us about it in verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That God gave those offices to the church as gifts. And it tells us what for. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Until we all come into a unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a mature man. King James says a perfect man, but it's really a mature man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the very maturity of Jesus Christ himself. And so that God gave the gifts, the ministry gifts in the church, universally, that he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints. It's preparing or maturing. So my job and anyone else in the ministry that God has given us to lead us by his Spirit to bring maturity to you, to prepare you, to equip you, to bring you into that place of that you're functioning, coming into all that God has called you to do, into your full potential. And it's for ministering. Notice, it's equipping us for the work of the ministry. Now, work of the ministry, I don't want you to get a narrow view of it. I'm not talking about you becoming a priest or going into ministry, you become a pastor. Where every person in this room is called to full-time ministry. That God has that purpose for your life. It's serving God. It's his calling on your life. It's the gifts that he's given you. And that God wants us to find that place, because that's the only place we're going to have fulfillment. And that all those gifts are for the building up of his church. Not just the local church, he's talking about the church. It's the building of the kingdom of God, the edifying of the body. And it tells us that God wants this to happen until we come into a perfect, in other words, teleos, the mature man, and that is the very full stature of Jesus Christ himself. And so that's the maximum potential. That's growing to be more like Jesus, but also coming into the very purposes that God has for our life, the plan that he has. I want to start with our Fresh Start class. This Fresh Start class is every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock in what we call E203. When you see E, it means education building. And this class, you can start anytime you want. You don't have to wait every 6 weeks, but you can start that anytime. And I want you to notice that it starts at home plate, because this is for new Christians, or it's for people that are just still immature in their faith. And there's people like that that have been Christians 20 years, and they still have just never grown in their faith. If they're honest, they just haven't really moved along. And so this class is for you. It starts at home plate. You're home. Time to step up to the plate. How are you going to hit the ball if you don't even go up to the plate? You're never going to get to first base in your life. You're never going to come into the things God has for you if you don't step up to the plate and take your place. And so this is the place where you start, and that you're going to learn about your relationship with the Father. Notice that it's God's presence to live in, and the word knowing, it has to do with knowing the Father, knowing who he is. Knowing his love for you, knowing the acceptance, knowing the forgiveness that he has for you, that you come to know the truth of God's word, that you know that this is a new beginning in your life, and understand who you are now, and the new life that he has. Knowing God's word is true, knowing the principles of the word of God that you can begin to apply to your life, you're going to come to know the person of the Holy Spirit. As we begin to live by his life, by his power. There's so many churchgoers that live in their own strength, and they never find fulfillment. They've never learned that there's a real person called the Holy Spirit that wants to live in us and through us. That it's not a changed life. It's an exchanged life. So we exchange our life for the Lord God. How many know what I'm talking about today? And so you're going to know God in a whole new way, at coming to know His purpose, coming to know His plan for your life, knowing the foundation that you can stand on that won't be shaken, and all the many benefits that God has for you. That's what this Fresh Start class is all about. And so it's not for losers, man. It's for winners. It's for people that want to walk forth in the Lord. And I want to encourage you to get in that class. If you've been away from the Lord for a while, or if you're a new believer, or you know someone else that gets in there, and it's in an atmosphere that you're going to be able to ask questions, and that those questions are going to be answered for you. So that's the first thing we do. That's Fresh Start class, as we step up to the plate. And the second class is really first base, and that it's our membership class. It's God's people to live with. It has to do with belonging. The first is God's presence to live in. It's knowing the Father, coming into relationship with Him. I want to talk a little bit about membership class. The next membership class begins May 27th, and it meets at 5:30. It's about belonging. You know, God has called every believer and places them in a local church. There's not an exception. Every person that gets saved, God has called to be a part of His church. I don't care where you are, that's God's plan. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 13 and 14, "For by one Spirit are we all placed into one body, whether you be Jews, Gentiles, whether slaves or free." Remember, in the early church, there were slaves that came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They were treated the same as with some of the people that were, you know, nobles. And that was one of the things that Rome really had a problem with. They said that they were subverters of the foundation of their government, that they put slaves and nobles on the same plane. Well, that's exactly what God does. That we all become equal in the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And you know that you may feel like you're a slave, but you know, I'm not talking about that kind of slavery. Say, I'm bound to my job. Well, you need to thank God you got a job. But the church was made up of all kinds of people, just like it is today. That look around you today. It's not only male and female, young and old, black, white, red, yellow, brown, rich and poor, all kinds of backgrounds, people that came from a church background, people that didn't have any church background. There's people in here who were involved in drugs. Others were involved in cults. There's people in here, you know, that were orphaned. There were people in here that had a warm family. It doesn't matter now. We're in Jesus Christ. We're all one family in the Lord God as we love one another, as we accept one another. In 1 Corinthians 12:8, it says, "Now God has set the members, each one of them," notice, how many? Each one of them, "in the body as it pleases Him." So every believer is called into a local body. That God places you in a local body. He puts you in the place where He wants you to be. I don't understand it. You know, there's people, some of you, that live a long distance from the church. And God has called you here. And you drive here because this is where God has placed you. There's other people that live up the street and they drive all the way to St. Pete and go someplace in church. You know, because God puts people where He wants them to be. He places them in His body, and that He has a place for you to function. So that's God's design. And if you look in the book of Acts, that when the Spirit of God fell on those believers and all of them got saved, you know, that as Peter got up and preached, and that we see those 3,000 people get saved, that it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking bread, and in prayers. And that every one of them, every person that got saved, every place they went, where Peter went, where Paul went, and Barnabas, and as they went and preached the word, what happened? They all came into a church. That every person that got saved were put into a local church. They weren't around just drifting around, you know, wild sheep out there, you know. Who ever heard of such a thing? So before, sheep go in folds. I mean, you got a lot of wild stuff. You got wild cats and wild dogs and wild lions and wild coyotes and, you know, even wild donkeys out there on taking care of themselves. There's wild horses and Hey, even wild chickens, you know, they're out there. They can do their own thing and kind of strut around and peck here and there. But who ever heard of a wild sheep? Run for your life. It's a wild sheep. Because God puts sheep in a flock to be cultivated, to grow, to be nurtured, to be protected. And God's placed every one of us in His church. And this is not an option. There's one body, one spirit, just as you were called. And one hope of your calling. It's not an option. It says, consider, meaning discover or behold. You know, be aware of one another. To provoke, that's a strong word, to provoke. To do it, you know, strongly. To what? Unto love. To good works, to God's purpose. You know, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is. So it's not an option. God's called us to be a part of His church. It says in the book of Acts, after, you know, those 3,000, and then after that, there were 5,000, not counting women and children, you're aware of that, that all these members, they're filled with life and joy as they come to know the living God. And it says, and praising God and having favor with all men, all people, that the Lord added to the church daily all those who were being saved. And that's the way the church is to function. It doesn't say anywhere that the church grows just through the leadership or through advertising or having a sign on the street or newspaper or through the radio. It said that it was because of the life of the members of the church. There was a vibrancy in it, and that's what touched the people's lives around them. And that's why it bothers me when we come to church and can't even give praise to God for a choir that's faithful, see? Because there should be a vibrancy here that we're excited about the things of God, because we're excited about God in our life. How many years? The best thing that ever happened to you was the day that the Lord came into your life, right? And so, you know, we need to not let the fire go out. And so the Lord's placed every one of us in His church. So Jesus not only died for you, but He died for the birth of His church. And to build His church, that He died for His bride. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. So God just didn't die for you individually. He died that His church would be birthed. He gave His life that His bride would be birthed. It says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. I will build. That's why Jesus came. For us to be anti-church is to miss the whole purpose of why Jesus Christ came. That we actually are against Him. You either gather or you scatter. You're with me or against me. And one of those things that the Lord said, you either gathering or you're scattering. If we're not gathering, then we must be scattering. So God has called us to be builders of His church. And so the very word church, ecclesia, E-C-C-L-E-S-I-A, it means to congregate. Word church means to congregate. It means to gather together as those that are called out. So when the Lord says He came to build His church, those that congregate, those that are called out, those that gather together, that's what the church is. He came to build His church. And so we, being many, are one body in Christ, individually members one of another. So we are the church. We're His bride. We're His body. And that the body is all interrelated, intricately knit together in oneness. To tear one place would do damage to the body. That there's an interdependence on the body with all the parts. And so it is in the body of Christ. And that's what it says here in Ephesians, as it's sharing in these verses. Man, to see this. It says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, I'm in Ephesians chapter 4 again, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We're growing, we're maturing into the very head, into the Lord Jesus Christ, into that full stature. It said, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies. Every joint. There's not an exception. God saved you not just to be an independent sheep, a maverick sheep, not to take a brand, but that we're to come God's property. and that we're in the flock of God. We're joined together as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, all interrelated. And that it says every one of us, compacted by every joint supplies, every one of us has something to give that another one doesn't. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, that we're to be effectual. Every part's in place. Every part works. Making increase of the body to the edifying or the building of itself in love. And it's love that's the very foundation. Man, what an awesome, awesome, awesome verse. So we are the church, his bride. We're his body. There's this thing today, you know, well, you know, I'm into Jesus, but man, I'm not into church at all. What you mean is you're not into religion. I'm not into religion either. I'm just not for religion. But I'm all about a relationship with Jesus and to gather together with other people that have been born again and come together as his church. Not in traditional religion that's empty, but where God's presence is and that the body comes together and functions. Can you imagine anyone saying, well, I really love you, Jesus, but you know, I don't have anything to do with your wife. I don't like your wife. That's what we're saying, whether you realize it or not, when you say, I don't want anything to do with church. Well, I love you, Jesus, but I don't want anything to do, you know, with your wife. I don't like your wife. You realize that when we're anti-church, what we're really doing is you're rejecting God's people, saying they're not important. You're missing the whole purpose of God as he brings the church together. And you're also missing out what God has for your life, because that's one of the things that's going to bring you into that maximum potential that God has for you. Can you imagine someone saying, well, you know, I accept you, but I reject your body? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine me coming up and saying, well, I really liked you, but man, I don't like your body. Can you imagine that? You know, or saying, well, I love you, but man, I have problems with your wife. How many think that could cause some kind of problems, you know? I mean, you know, you're going to get decked, man. So, you know, but that's what we do. But we're really rejecting what God gave his life for, what he died for. Christ loved his church and died for it. That's how important his church is. Jesus died for this. That we can come together, that we can be joined together, not only with God, but with one another. So the Christian life is more than just a commitment to Jesus. It's a commitment, you see, to other Christians, to his people. And to miss it is to miss the reason why Jesus Christ came. We're still living self-centeredness. What is sin? Me, my way, my life, my plan, I'll do it my way. And that people reject the church, that's what they're saying. Because that's why God came, to build his church, for the church to be birthed. You know, this morning when we sang Blessed Assurance, that was Dr. Pano's favorite song. He's my pastor, Bishop Pano. And just about a year and a half ago, I had the privilege with a couple of other men to preach his funeral. And my life, of course, was changed when I got saved. Everything changed in my life when I found Jesus. But it was when God put me in that church, and that's when I really began to see who I was in Christ. And understand the calling that was on my life. To begin to grow into my maximum potential is when I was plugged into a local church that really taught the word. And believe me, the church I was raised in did not teach the word. But when I found that church, that's when I, quote, bloomed as a Christian. And that was Dr. Payne's favorite song. And he just sang it all the time. And so to sing that this morning brought back fond memories. Well, I love Dr. Payne. I'm going to see him again. But not only did Jesus change my life, but the church and his leadership changed my life, as God used him as an apostle and as a pastor in my life. And so I know all about church. If it wouldn't have been for Jesus, and if it wouldn't have been for his church, you know, then this church wouldn't even be here. None of these things would be happening. And so I understand that, you know, believing is not enough. Belonging is the plan of God. You know, the believers in Macedonia, they understood this. In 2 Corinthians 8:5, it says, first they gave themselves to the Lord, and then by God's will, they gave themselves to us as well. So membership class is going to begin just, you know, 3 weeks again. It'll be repeating, but on May 27th, 5:30. And I'm asking you to make a commitment. I'm asking you to make a commitment today. It's time to quit drifting around. How many of you are members of the church? Let me see your hands. See, many of you, most of you are, obviously. But it's just time to quit drifting. And I don't apologize asking you to make a commitment. Jesus doesn't. Jesus doesn't apologize asking you to make a commitment to his body, to his church that he died for, to become a part, to say, I'm going to tap in, I'm going to grow, I'm going to be faithful. That when you're being faithful to his body, you're being faithful to Christ. And so the Lord says, you know, if you have ears to hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. Next thing I want to talk about then is our maturity. And the next class is about God's principles to live by. We've talked about God's presence to live in, and really knowing and having a relationship with the Father. And we've talked about God's people to live with and belonging and being a part of that plan that God has. But second base is about maturity. And we're going to have two parts. There'll be 2 6-week classes to that. It's about growing. It's about maturing. This is not just for baby Christians, I want you to know. That's not what this is about. This is going to be material that is first class, that is going to really help you to come into that potential that God has for your life. A disciple is a learner. It never stops. And as long as we're walking with Jesus, we're going to continue to be growing. We're going to continue to be going forward. You know, Christian life is a life of discovery as we continue to move forward into who Jesus is. It says we're going to be doing this until we come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, into a mature man. Until that time that we come into the mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there's nobody in here who can say, I've arrived, I've come into the full stature of Jesus Christ. I have that full measure. You liar! You know, if you had that, you'd be dead. You'd be in heaven right now, because God would be done with the process in your life. The fact that you're still down here living and breathing means God's still got some more work to do in you and in me. Can you say amen? You and me. So God's working in us. So the Lord has given these gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, what? For the maturing, for the developing of the saints. It's a process, no matter where you are. So God has called us, God's designed us to grow into the full stature of Jesus Christ. Now, growth and fulfillment is God's plan. You know, anything that's healthy, you know, it's going to be developing. It's going to be growing. You don't just quit. You don't coast. Can you imagine Jesus just coasting? He says, I'm just going to coast now. I mean, that's what some Christians do. They say, I'm just going to coast. I'm sorry. If you're walking with God, there's no coasting. We got it in gear all the time. We're moving forward. Somebody say amen in here, would you? So spiritual advancement, you know, and growth is not automatic. It takes an intentional commitment. We must want to advance and grow. We must decide to advance and grow. We make an effort to advance and grow. You must want to move it. You know, we persist in advancing and growing. That's what the Christian life is all about. There's no place where you just take it easy. So this whole process, it begins with a commitment on our part. I'm going to follow Jesus the rest of my life. I want to continue to grow. I don't want to be the same next year at this time as I am right now. I want to be growing in the Lord and what God has for my life. How about you? So you see, I'm excited about this two-part maturity class. I believe it's probably the desire of every person in this room to advance towards your maximum potential. How many of you want to? How many of you want to advance towards your maximum potential? It's not going to happen by itself. How many of you, it's your desire to continue to mature and to be more like Jesus as you grow? It's not going to happen by itself. You're going to have to make a commitment for that to happen. To be an achiever, And all that pertains to God's plan is what this is all about. As we move into the purposes and the plans, as we grow into Him, it's going to take an intentional commitment. Not just intention. Well, I have great intentions. It's going to take a commitment. And that's why I'm talking about this right now. I want to give you plenty of time that you pray about this. It's not just some emotional decision. That I've made a determination. I want to move forward into God. I'm willing to make a commitment. You know, if you were going to decide to get training, to go to college, to be a chiropractor, you would make a commitment to do that, to go through the training. If you're going to be a truck driver, you're going to go through training. They're not just going to give you a big rig out there. And, man, I don't want you out there, that's for sure. You go through training. You make a commitment. You're going to go through it. Think of all the things that there's training. If you're going to be in real estate, you're going to go through training. You're going to take a test. And that we think that as a Christian, we're just going to coast. This is the greatest calling on our life. Can you say amen? I mean, it's greater than being a surgeon. You know, God has called us to be His sons and His daughters in the purpose and plan. So I want you to make a commitment. So this maturity class is going to begin as soon as our next membership class is over, and we'll be talking about it. And it's broken into two sections. Third base is about your ministry. It's God's purpose to live out. It's a six-week class. It's about serving the Lord. It's about ministering. Again, I don't want you to get a narrow view and just see your ministry as something that happens inside the church. We're talking about God's plan for your life, wherever that is, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the secular marketplace, whether you're a truck driver, whether you're a receptionist, whether you're a CEO, whether you're a housewife, you know, whether you're a school teacher. God has a plan. God has a purpose for you, and that it's going to revolve around Jesus and ministry, not just a vocation that you have. That God has a plan. This is about where we're called and the giftings that we have and what God has and how to find that out. It's God's heart, you see, for you to discover your gifts and know who you are, to find the place of your calling, to find those opportunities that God has for you, and to use that. So it's our heart to equip you to reach that maximum potential. Wherever God's called you, I'm for it. Whatever God has for you, I am for it. You say, Pastor, this may really sound weird, but I think God has called me, and we pray about it, it says, I'm with you. It sounds weird, but it's just, you know, Jesus did some weird stuff too. How many know He broke out of the box? So I'm for you. Say, but I feel like God's calling me out of the church, and I'm going to go, and God's called me to move to Lower Sebovia. You know, well, when we get time and God bears witness, and I say, I'm with you. You know, we've helped people to get to Lower Sebovia before. I mean, that's what it felt like to some of these missionaries when they got there. We've encouraged people. That's what an apostle is, loosing people into the ministry. That's where the fulfillment's all about. Finding our purpose, finding our calling. Man, I don't know, that's what thrills my heart. See somebody grow and mature, and God leads them into the place that they have, and we stand behind them to fulfill that purpose. And so we want to follow the Lord. It's the only way you're going to know fulfillment and joy. There is no other way. And so the Holy Spirit's challenging, not just me. It's time to grow. Man, I am so excited about this plan. It's not something that's just going to happen for a couple weeks. This is a lifetime thing. And that it's not only going to affect our church now, it's going to affect our church when we move into the new building and those that come after us. That we're all on the same page. We're doing the same thing. We're moving the same direction. You know, by the way, you know, God's called me as a pastor, as the apostle and the pastor of this church, not just to tickle your hearts, you know. God's called me to equip you. My job is to equip you for the work of the ministry, for the building of the body. I better be doing it. That God's called us to be involved in the things of the kingdom, not just to entertain and make us feel good and meet our needs. Hello? But God's called us to be used, not just meet my need, meet my need, meet my need. Well, I left that church. Why? It just wasn't meeting my needs. Well, how about that God would use you to meet other people's needs and we become a servant to all instead of just serve me, serve me, serve me, serve me. That's maturity. I can hear Jesus now. The Father says, I thought you were supposed to be in Jerusalem. Jesus says, they just weren't meeting my needs. fourth is home plate. It's the last of these sessions. Again, it's 6 weeks. It's your mission. It's God's plan for your life. It's about multiplying. It's full circle. You know, we started at home plate. We found Jesus Christ. God placed us in a church. We grow. We mature. And now it's our responsibility to bring other people into God's family, that they would find the Lord Jesus. We're commissioned to share our faith with others. And that we as a church are going to learn to share Jesus Christ without any fear. And that we're going to bring forth a plan that's going to be easy to follow, and it's not going to be a fearful thing. Again, I asked a couple weeks ago, how many of you really have a desire to share Jesus, that either because you're intimidated or you're fearful, or, you know, but then we don't do it. But you want to do it. How many of you really want to share Jesus and see people get saved? See, I know you do. I know that you do. But God wants us to move forward in it. We got to learn to do it. And so that we're not intimidated. God, you know, if you're an open vessel, God will just throw it in your face, just like that girl on the plane. She says, what's this book mean? I mean, you always say, I'm sorry, I don't have time to deal with this right now. We're on our vacation here, you know, just shh. You know, every place we went, just looking for opportunity to share with people. It's not hard. Sure is fun. It's fun. To do with confidence. And we're going to learn. And so we're going to start this program in a few weeks. You can get right now into Fresh Start class, membership class. I said it's just starting in about 3 weeks. If you're not a member of the church, we really encourage you to do it. But I want you to be praying about this. This is not some lightweight thing. And it's going to have a life-changing effect on you and a life-changing effect on the church. And so I don't want you to share at the last minute and say, this is what we're going to do. I want you to be aware of it. I want you to be praying about it. We're going to give a binder to you. All the material from these classes, you'll be able to put in that binder and develop it. You'll have it at the end, the things that you learn. And so probably we'll be starting our maturity classes. There'll be 6 weeks in the second part of that. Probably will be happening sometime in June. So that's not far away. Father, right now, I thank you for men and women with a heart, God, not just to be blessed. Lord, we thank you for your blessing. We do enjoy your blessing. But Lord, we want to please you. We want to grow. We want to grow into the fullness of your Son, into that stature that you've called us. Lord, we want to reach our full potential. We don't want to stand before you. Lord, I don't want to stand before you someday. And I missed it. That I didn't hear you. That I gave up. That I coasted. Never entered into your will. Never entered into your plan. Father, I want to go out strong. And I know it's the heart of every person here to run this course and to finish strong. And then when we stand before you here, you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, we've all failed. We've all missed the mark. But Lord, we're going to get up. We're not going to be condemned. We're not going to feel the guilt and condemnation. We're going to stand up. And even though we've fallen, Lord, we're going to get up and finish strong. We're going to run this race. And I pray, Lord, that in these coming weeks, you're going to do a major, major overhaul in this church with men and women all over this church, not just for a core group, but for the whole body. And that people, Lord, are going to feel the tugging of your Spirit on their heart, saying, this is for you. I want to do something special in your life that's never happened before. So I call them forth now, Father, in the name of Jesus. I call forth the members of this church, Lord. Those that are close, those that are far away. Those that are committed, those, Lord God, that are just a little lacking. That, Lord, you're going to bring us together into a place of unity and oneness and strength, a light to this community. And that, Lord, we are going to grow into you and all that you have for us individually and as a body, in Jesus' name. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to give opportunity, even though it's the early service, and you know we got a couple visitors, it's okay. I don't want to take for granted that every person in this room has had an experience with Jesus. I went to church when I was a kid. I was there all the time. I didn't know Jesus. I knew about Jesus. What a difference when I'm in Him. It doesn't come by going to church. It doesn't come by even reading the Bible. It doesn't come by being good, following traditions. It doesn't come by good works. It comes through relationship. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of good works, so no one can boast. How many times I've shared in this church, the Bible says, except a man be born again of the Spirit of God, he cannot enter the kingdom. There's no other way. There is no other way into the kingdom. It's not of good works, so no one can brag about it. It's all by the grace of God. It's a gift. And today, if you're here and say, Pastor John, I want to know Him. I want to have the assurance that Jesus is in my life. I want to have the assurance of eternal life. If you say, I'm trying to be as good as everybody else, the Bible says there isn't anybody good. Nobody's good. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that there's no one good. There's only one person good, and that's Jesus. He's the only one that's righteous and never sinned. That's why it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, so nobody can brag. Nobody. I can't brag about saying I'm good, because I'm not. I need a Savior because I'm a sinner. I need a Savior every day. I just didn't need a Savior when I was 24 and all really messed up back in my hippie days. I need a Savior right now. We all sin in attitude, in word, in deed. All of us. We're all self-willed, self-centered. I need Jesus today to forgive me. And don't you be thinking such self-righteous thoughts. So do you. If you're here today and you've never put your trust in Jesus alone as your Savior, the moment you put your trust, He's going to come into your life. He stands at the door of your heart and knocks. The moment you ask Him, He's going to send His Spirit into your life. And it says, and that Spirit bears witness with your spirit. You've become a child of God. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if He's in you, will raise you up and you'll know it. And those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, knows Him. But those that have come to know Him through new birth and by His Spirit and surrender, it's yieldedness. It's when we say, Lord, come, take the throne of my heart. I get off. And when you lose your life, you'll find it. If you try to keep it, you'll lose it. It comes through surrender, yieldedness. God, you become the king of my life. You become the Lord. I want your will, your plan. If that's your heart today, I want you to lift your hand wherever you are and you say, Pastor John, God's talking to me, tugging at my heart. I know it. And when I see your hand, you can put it down. You just lift it up wherever you are and you will say, pray for me. Where are you? I know God's been tugging on your heart. Put your hand up. See, I know enough about the Holy Spirit. He didn't put all that on my heart for no reason. And that there's either one or several people in here, you've never put your trust in Jesus. You've come here, you're observing, it's real safe where you are, and now God's saying, I've called you not to just be in a safe place. I've called you to be an eternally safe place in me. And that's not going to happen until you're willing to give your life to me. And I want you to lift your hand, and you say, Pastor John, will you pray for me? And you slip your hand up. God wants you to leave today with the assurance it's happened, it's done, you're born again, that He's in your life. Where are you? Say, pray for me. Go on, you just obey God. Thank you. Who else? You say, pray for me. You slip your hand up. Thank you, I see your hand. Who else? You just slip your hand up. When I see it, you can put it down. It's hard for me to see, but you slip your hand up. Is there anyone else this morning? At the close of this service, there's going to be leadership to pray for you here, no matter what your needs is. There's always pastors here. I want us to stand to our feet right now. I'd like for two or three couples of leadership to come and stand right in front of me here at the altar. Would you, the eldership, just if you would, like three couples. Would you do that? There's one. There's two. There's three. All right, would you come? I'll take four, three. I want you to stand right in front of me, right here. If you raise your hand today, were dismissed to service. It says, if you will confess him before men, he'll confess you before the Father. See, it's dying to ourselves. We don't get saved by giving money. We don't get saved by dressing nice. We don't get saved because we're so good. We get saved when we put our trust in Jesus, believing in our heart, confessing with our mouth. If you confess him before men, he'll confess you before the Father. If we deny him before men, he denies us before the Father. I want you to know, this is the greatest miracle that can happen in any life. I want to ask you honestly, church, what is the greatest answer to prayer you've ever experienced in your life? What is it? What's the greatest answer to prayer you've ever experienced? Healing? That's temporary. Even your children? That's wonderful. But it's relationship with him, eternal life that God has given us. What is greater than that? That's the greatest miracle, the greatest thing that can take place. You know, that's why we're here. That's the greatest answer to prayer and miracle we've ever experienced. And so if you raise your hand, come on up here. So if you raise your hand today, I'm going to ask you to come present yourself at this altar. It says, if you'll confess him before men, I'll confess before the Father. If you deny him before men, he denies before the Father. This is the most important thing you're ever going to do in your life, because Jesus is going to meet you here and you're going to leave this place with all assurance. I want to ask you again, how many of you want to grow into that maximum potential that God has for you? We're going to make a commitment. And this is the first step for some of you right now. You got to take this first step. You got to meet Jesus before you can grow into what he wants you to be, before you can know God's plan. You're going to have to hear his voice. He's going to have to come into your life. Father, we lift our hands, Lord, and surrender to you. We want to know you. I pray for people that are taking their first steps. I pray for people that have been walking with you for many years. But Lord, your heart for all of us is wherever we are to continue to grow, to move into all that you have. And so, Lord, you're about to do a revolutionary thing in the lives of people and in the lives of this church. We ask your blessing and your guidance and your direction, Lord.